My first so fantastic. Better not catch you lacking. Back to back like traffic. Got that jumper patent. In my starter jacket. In my wrist like
violin. Hello and welcome to the Flock Pod. We are at hashtag 155 here at beautiful Chopper Base. The Avatarier producers are out there taking their post-game nap. They are not going to be involved in today's podcast. The door is closed. No shenanigans whatsoever. If you'd be so kind, please go find us on all of your major podcast streaming platforms at the Flock Pod. Make sure you are subscribed to get that fresh flockness in your feed every time we've got a new podcast that pops out. If you'd be even kinder, please go find us on all of your major social media platforms, on Twitter, on the Bookface, on Instagram, at the Flock Pod. Make sure you're following along, engaging in the discussion, giving us those retweets, those likes, all that good stuff. You can find me at Coach Justin D on those same social media platforms. Jesse, tell them where you
are. Yes, sir. You can find me at DeGraffman, DeGraffman on all of those socials. Give me a follow. I'll probably follow you back.
Love it. Love it. The follow back game. The train continues. All right, Jesse, this is our first instant reaction podcast. We're trying something a little bit different. We're just going to do a little quick hitter here. Ducks up a big time victory, 38-24 at home at Autzen Stadium against a pesky, just a feisty Washington State Cougar squad. The Ducks give up 438 yards in the air and still win the game. That's my first initial reaction, Jesse. So what's your first take? What do you got?
Well, we were talking about this before the game on our pod that was unfortunately lost to the ether.
Yeah, the pod that will not be named. Yes, it is. It was a good pod too. Really, really. Yeah, we can reference that a bunch. I mean, that was like we'll have to do like a Tenacious D tribute or something like that.
There
to
you
that
go.
Podcast. Yeah,
the greatest podcast in the world. But tribute. But anyways, yeah. I mean, it played out a lot like we had said. Is stop Cam Ward. Well, we didn't stop Cam Ward, but what we did is we made sure that all those yards he got didn't translate into points.
Yep, absolutely.
And because they only put up what they did, 57 yards rushing as a team. So you knew that they were just going to sling it around the yard and try and stay with you, which worked for a half. But then once the second half came in, those Cougs started getting a little tired. The big boys up front started really doing their job on both sides of the ball, really. And the Bucky and Jordan train just started rolling, and there wasn't a whole lot they could do about it.
Yeah, the trenches really became Oregon's go to there in the second half. In particular, they were really winning the trenches every opportunity they had. I don't have the sack total here in front of me, but I think they got 5 or 6 sacks.
I think as so. A team.
Shout out just that defensive line for doing a great job, but also that offensive line in particular. They kept running that one counter play, just pulling those the guard coming around the edge there over and over and over again. You love to see that, and that running game just really took the game over. The defense, though, I mean, minus that one last touchdown, that that touchdown mattered to some people. That was an important touchdown for some people out there.
But, for some degenerates.
Yeah, for some duckgenerates out there, for sure. But in theory, to really hold them without a touchdown in the second half is a really impressive performance, especially the way that they were slinging the ball around and the way that they were executing there in that first half.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, and the defense. I was silent there for a second as I pulled up, a stat sheet that gives me what I'm looking for. 6 sacks actually.
There we go.
As a
6
team.
Sacks. Yep.
And held them to, I don't know what the percentage is, but 4 for 14 on third down from
love
the
that.
Cougs.
Yep.
Love the duck that. And the Ducks were shooting at 50%, 5 for 10. So that right there, when you look at those efficiencies. And on fourth down they were 1 for 4, so it didn't, the conversions, first down conversions on the Cougs side, not in their favor. And then you throw in the 6 sacks. I mean, that it's like I said, they gave up plenty of pass yards, but it didn't translate into anything.
they executed on those few plays that really mattered this week. You know what I mean? Absolutely. We talked about that in our last podcast that, again, was lost to the ether. That's just the way that Oregon did not execute in that Washington game on just, you know, really four plays that really made the difference in the game.
Yep.
And for this game, for those four or five plays that really made the difference, the Ducks came out and really executed well. Minus that one big chunk play they gave up. I think it was like a third and 18 on that second drive there in the fourth quarter, maybe third drive in the fourth quarter. That was the real big chunk play that they gave up. That was, you know, kind of a kept hope alive, if you will, for the Washington State Cougars. But good on the Cougars to come into Autzen and really give it their all after getting their absolute asses kicked last weekend to come in here. And I leave this game really, really impressed with Cam Ward. And if I'm an NFL team, and I've got a day 2, day 3 pick, and I need a guy to come in to just be a really solid backup with the potential he's got. I mean, it's an easy comparison because they played at the same school. He's got a little bit more mobility than this quarterback, but he's got some Gardner Minshew to his game. Just a little gunslinger mentality, little swagger, different arm angles, you know, able to move the ball around and still be accurate. Was really, really impressed with Cam Ward today.
Yeah, that one fourth down conversion was that little sidearm to the sideline action that if you can get those throwing angles different than just, you know, standing like a statue in the pocket and slinging it. If you can get those little sidearms, those little underhanded shovel passes when you need them, that can really elevate your game as a QB, especially someone who's mobile.
Well, and I think we would be remiss. I mean, I want to give Cam Ward all his flowers. Let's talk about what everybody's been talking about on Twitter. And it's Will Stein. Are we as a podcast, I don't know how I feel about it yet. That he made a couple calls there in the second half that had me even shaking my head. Like I've talked about, I really try to be pro coach on this podcast. We're not in the room with these guys. We don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes. They know their guys a lot better than we do.
Yeah.
However, it's 3rd and 3. You have an opportunity to ice the game, and we're throwing the ball. We're getting cute, and we're sending out a bunch to one side and trying to run a slant to the other side when we've been absolutely running over their face in the second half. It just drives me crazy.
Absolutely. I understand wanting to mix in your play calling a little bit so you don't get predictable, but that's not the time and place to do that. You're getting... Once again, this team is averaging up until that point 9 yards a carry. What are we doing trying to throw the ball?
Yeah, get predictable. That would be my argument. Yeah. Get predictable. Absolutely. Let them know it's coming. Show them the play. Show Washington State the play. This is what's happening.
I dare you
to
stop it.
Yeah, this is what's happening.
I dare you to stop it.
I will say my heart just leapt. It was just an absolute beauty and excitement. When I think it was second quarter, nearing the end of the second quarter there, and that goal line opportunity, Oregon lined up in what I believe to be a power eye formation, Jesse. And that might have been the first time I've seen that in a really long time. And shout out Cyrus Habibilikio on Twitter, who also has said his heart basically leapt out of his chest when he saw that. So good to see Oregon come with a little power running game.
When's the last time you saw power eye?
I can't remember.
Outside of Washington, D.C. with the Commanders. I don't know. I'm just picking a random NFL team. But, I mean, that's, you know, they don't even run it on Sundays anymore.
Nope, some good old halfback ISO.
That's crazy. Craziness. And I loved it. I'm absolutely with you. When you've got an O-line like the Ducks are running, you've got two just absolute terrors in the backfield with Jordan and Bucky. Why not? Let's get old school.
And it does seem like Bucky escaped that injury scare unscathed. Ooh, seems like he's doing okay. First, it looked
like this post game is about to get real dark.
Real somber. Yeah. I thought it was some kind of collarbone thing maybe when he rolled over, but it looked like he was okay. It was dapping up everybody, dapped up Tez Johnson right after that touchdown. So that was good to see. Another thing that was really good to see. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Not to lose your point, I did have one thing that I, speaking of things we're a little worried about, but not terribly worried about. Cam Lewis has to get out of his own head.
Oh, yeah, man. That's what started the meltdown. The mystery. Yeah. Everybody was freaking out. Absolutely. That was rough for the kid. That was rough
since for him. Since I looked at it and you know, the first couple games of the year, he was fine. Colorado, he didn't actually kick any field goals. He had a handful of extra points. But then at Stanford, he missed from 38. That was his only try that day. And then Washington, we know how that went. He missed from 43. And then to start today, he missed from 47, which it would have matched his career long. But, I mean, that's a makeable kick.
It's a very makeable kick.
Especially with not a lot of pressure. So in his in the last three games, Camden Lewis is 2 for 5 with three misses inside of 50. And it's just, he's better than that. We know he's better than that because he's been the kicker for years. And it's just the poor guy has to get out of his own head is all I can think of. He's got the yips. And I wish I knew the psychology of how to cure that for a kid, especially a kid, a 21-year-old kid. I mean, he'll be better. It's just, you know, it was kind of striking to miss again in the 40s. And I was like, damn, son.
Yep. All right. Well, and I was happy to see Dan Lanning put him out there. I mean, I said it right away. Yeah. Okay, this is a confidence opportunity. You know,
absolutely.
Good on Lanning to get that kid right back out there, to get him back in the saddle and give him another opportunity. But
absolutely,
yeah, that was a bummer.
Speaking we need some of giving Eastern guys European an soccer players or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of giving guys an opportunity, Bo Nix really trusted his guys today. Really gave him opportunities to capitalize on throws that were really 50-50 balls. Threw a couple to Troy Clifford Franklin. Do you watch The Replacements?
No. But I know.
You got. I mean, that's you got to watch that one. That's a great one. There's a character, Clifford Franklin, from that movie that just Troy Franklin for whatever reason reminds me of. But yeah, made a couple throws to him, and then a couple throws to Tez Johnson, where it was just really throw the ball up there, throw it into a window, and trust your guy to make a play. And more often than not, those guys really came through for Bo.
Trust your brother to go get it, yeah, as they no reminded doubt. Us several times.
Several times. It's just becoming a running gag now on the every single right? broadcast.
Every time.
So as we kind of zoom out now and kind of look at this game in its totality, is there something that worries you as we go into this next game against Utah?
I mean, I can't be the only one who says that the secondary has to start playing better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's,
and we should mention we were down Kyrie Jackson today. He made an attempt to go, but was unable to finish the game, kind of bowed out there early in the first half. So hopefully he's able to recover and get healthy for this big game against Utah. But we should at least mention that a couple other guys had to step up.
Yep. When you're going up against, you know, Caleb Williams, or, you know, God willing, a second time against Phoenix late in the season, the play has to be better than giving up 438 yards. I mean, because those teams will convert it into points and you'll be in a bad, bad way.
Yeah, and it was something that UW didn't do as much as I expected them to, but you could tell that Washington State really tried to pick on Tysheem Johnson today. Number zero out there on the defensive side of the ball, and you can tell that he's beginning to get a target on his back to really have teams go after him. So he's going to have to respond, and or the Oregon's going to have to adjust the scheme a little bit to protect him a little bit more in coverage. Evan Williams, I thought, acquitted himself well today. I think he played well, did a good job coming up and stuffing the run a couple times. Still has
that
to be
one
better
strip on the long on the long ball on the sideline.
Yep, he's still got to be better in coverage, especially attaining depth early on in the play to just to contain things a little bit better. Agreed. And then they got to tackle better. At the end of the day, you got to tackle better, and you got to. I mean, Oregon. When I think of Oregon cornerbacks, I think of ball hawks. I think of guys that are going to be aggressive. I think of guys that are going to maybe make a mistake or two, but they're going to make that mistake going after the ball. And I haven't seen that as much this season as in past years. And I'm wondering if that's something that the coaching staff has talked to them about and tried to kind of coach out of them a little bit and be a little bit more safe in their coverage.
Yeah.
But it's just they don't seem like they have they're not tracking the ball as well this year.
Yeah, agreed. There's a little bit of more layoff in coverage and just don't give it up, as opposed to getting aggressive, you know, getting the swats, getting the picks
getting that we're used to. Yeah, making a play on the ball. Yeah.
Absolutely. We haven't seen it this year as in years past. And it's interesting how the identity of the team can vary, even with, you know, largely the same staff. But last, you know, like we said, going into the Washington game, at that point, the team had 18 sacks, which matched the entirety of the 22 season of 18 sacks. But the 22 Ducks, like you said, were a lot more aggressive in the secondary, more picks, more big play action. And this year, it looks like it feels like you said, there's a bit more laying off, a little bit more safety, for lack of a better term, in the secondary. But that pass rush is just getting after people. I mean, we're up to, if I'm counting right, they only got Penix once, but then six today, so that puts them at 25 mm-hmm. on the season. I mean, that's 25 sacks through seven games. You're happy with that?
I am happy with that, and it's going to be interesting to see how much pressure they're able to get next week against Utah. I'm really curious to see. I don't know. I haven't heard anything more about Cam Rising. We'll certainly find out tonight if he goes against USC. That'll give us a good indication if he's going to go against Oregon. I'm a little worried, and this is going to sound weird after only giving up 57 yards on the ground, but as you look ahead and you go against a power running team like Utah, I think a player that is going to be just massively important for Oregon going forward, and we saw him make a couple big impact plays today, is Justin Jacobs. And if he can come out there, and if he can be, I mean, I predicted early on in the season that he was going to be the quarterback of this defense. I took him really high in our stock draft that we did early on. I'm really, really excited to see what he can do. And he, again, made a couple big plays today. Really interested to see what he's able to do next week. I mean, because you got Vaki, you got Jackson, you got Burt. I mean, they've got a bunch of backs in that Utah yes. backfield that can do some damage. So it's going to – and if it is Cam Rising, that certainly does make the game a little bit more complicated, because you can almost go into that Utah game thinking, okay, now we're playing a souped-up Oregon State from last year. You know what I mean? They're going to try to just yes, pound exactly. the ball down our faces. And how we stop the run is going to dictate the rest of this game. So those big guys up front, and they did well today. They did well, only giving up 57 yards on the ground. I made a couple plays in the running game, got into the backfield a couple times. But we're going to have to see more of that. We're going to have to see more penetration. Yep. We're going to have to see more gaps filled and things of that nature against that Utah team. All right, Jesse, anything else today as we look to wrap up our Instant Reaction podcast?
I don't think so. I'm glad Bucky's healthy and glad yes. the team is healthy in general. But yeah, looking forward to next weekend. That Utah, every game is a big game in the Pac-12.
Moving forward, every game really is a big game. I mean, each tilt really matters, and that's, you love to just have that Dan Lanning mentality, you know, 1-0 every week, 1-0 every week.
Absolutely. And my last thing is nobody panic. the UW loss hurts for any number of reasons, but as the national TV guys said several times today, that this Ducks team still controls its own destiny for the most part. If they can run the table and get that revenge game against Penix and the Huskies, there's no reason they won't be in the CFP.
Well, and it's so important after a big emotional game like that, a rivalry game, that you don't allow it to beat you twice.
Yes.
And it didn't. It didn't today. Nope. The Ducks came through.
Did not.
Not as clean as I would have liked. I mean, again, I predicted 45-21. So if Oregon gets that last touchdown, you know, there on the last drive, it kind of gets closer to the score that I predicted. So again, the game flow is kind of what I thought it would be. But I just clean it up a little bit. We got to clean it up a little bit. So, all right. As always, take care of your chicken. Take care of your mentals. We appreciate you. We love you. We out.
Sorry.
Do you want to dance?
Yeah.
You know you make me wanna shout. Kick my heels up and shout.
Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now. Shout.